This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
There's a lot of people. We summoned Leviathan. Took a little while to banish. And I got to say, that was fucked up.
Yes,
I know we're going to earn our 18 plus on YouTube today. Yep. But that was fucked up. I mean, fucked up to the point. We did this ritual to summon the internal waters. And people had to go get camphor. And they had to get started.
And then there was a bathroom call.
There was a bathroom. Like, it was just. We didn't have any Kevinosis or anything like that. We went there. So what is Leviathan and why should you care? Leviathan is sometimes called the Chaos Dragon. So, you know, Robocop hands on Chaos Magic. Right. So Chaos, sort of my thing. I don't really like the Eldritch Horrors of Lovecraft, but this one qualifies as an Eldritch Horror of Lovecraft in a lot of ways. So there's a lot of similarities between Leviathan and maybe the spirit called Tiamat. In both cases, the Bible refers to a great serpent. In both cases, they're fed or broken up to people and given to people. And that either spiritually nourishes people or it gives the people their soul. Or in the Babylonian myth, they get their soul. Okay. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a soul except for the great sea serpent. Just keep that in mind.
Seafood.
To think. The darkness. And that brings to the correspondence of what Leviathan actually is. It's usually seawater, but it's all combined with the chaos of life and death in the sea, the unknowability of water, the unknowability and the illusion of rationality in the most water liminal spaces where there is only emotion and there's connection and there's darkness and cold, because in the depth of the ocean where you go deeper and deeper, that's what's there. You know, now the sigil for Leviathan, really only the sigil we could see is from Psychic Youth.
Yeah.
You know, there might be some better ones, but that's the most common one. But it really is from Psychic Youth. We didn't really use it in a ritual. We did use the end. What was the end again?
It was, let's see, Jadon Tasa Oet Nasa Leviathan.
That's right. It'll be in the notes of the show. Leviathan basically allows you to do more than just get the waters and the water elements. And yes, some people will spin the psychology around Leviathan to basically be about emotional intelligence. Because clearly, if you can sense the waters and other people, you should be more emotional intelligence. But there's also a lot hidden in the darkness. You know that the hidden enemy in the Hellraiser series was actually Leviathan.
Really?
That is the source of power for the Hellraisers, the Hellraiser demons in Clive Barker's not occult fiction.
Not occult at all.
No, not at all. And essentially, like, and what are they always about? Boundary crossing and pleasure, which is, again, aspects of
water.
Extreme water or extreme ecstasy. Extreme pain is actually even sort of water-ish.
It is. It's emotion.
It's emotion. Not the more extreme emotional pain is far more than what you could probably physically suffer. Most people's can suffer more, far more emotionally than they can.
Well, that's like the thing I was looking at this week about Matrix Resurrections, where they're like, oh, we're just going to use your emotions and we'll keep causing it.
Yeah. Well, the Leviathan forces you do, however, is forcing you to face those emotions without the veil of illusion of your own rationality, which constrains, contains, and otherwise puts limits on what you can express or be. This forces you to be deeply honest with how you feel about things, which is good. Whereas we did Florios last week, kind of spin up the flame of passion. This is more about you got to be honest with what you're processing, what you're experiencing. Even the fact that the darkness itself is kind of there. It's consuming. It's cold. It's in some cases, I think we did the ritual, there was a lot of death elements.
There is most definitely a lot of death elements. I mean, a lot of suffocation, a lot of drowning.
Most people, by the way, when they die, they drown.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes.
The vast majority of people die from drowning.
Or now some sort of like fluid.
Yeah, it seems like a little weird to say that because their death causes something like that. But for the most part, their lungs fill up with water or blood or something like that, and then they die. So the vast majority of people, over 90%, I would bet, die from water, from suffocation, internal suffocation. That's not the official cause, obviously.
Or they go off in a dream. Or on the good death.
Right. they go off in dreamland and sleep, but it's still suffocation.
It's still suffocation.
In a way. So this death elements, we laughed about it and joked about this ritual, saying that's a feature, not a bug.
It's not a bug. It's a feature.
It's a feature of the oceans. It's part of the whole removing the form. We did a full-on ritual where we basically descended into the depths of Leviathan through both meditation and chanting. I think it was a phenomenal ritual.
Oh, it was absolutely.
I think Leviathan is one of those spirits that I find to be one of the best to do entropic work. I know, you know, people will list it out as emotional intelligence, but really, even in the dark waters that you're at, can strengthen your psychic ability to grab sort of new spiritual powers. This is a entity that isn't totally predictable.
Yeah.
And it's not totally predictable what you can get out of it. It's not totally predictable about what can happen.
Well,
like, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
because it's subconscious. It's like it's very much gained to that point. If you could be conscious of what that, that's a lot of things happening.
Exactly. That is a lot of things happening if you could be conscious of it. This is working your subconscious mind, and it's projecting an alien and strengthening the water within, which could actually release new spiritual powers, and actually kind of communicating with the dead, all associated with water, yep. Spirit communication, water, empathy, water, any sort of passive divinations, water,
yep.
Any sort of passive skill set, magically speaking, calling the spirit could possibly strengthen. Now, we asked Leviathan to strengthen the water as part of our building, our circle of the elemental kings. And I feel like we successfully did that. I think looking around the room,
everyone looked
pretty juiced up.
And juiced.
Yeah, and different, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then we're also going to be using the blessed waters in our hot pot today. So.
Right, we did. So, like, Leviathan has some traditional correspondences, has some weird correspondences that correspond with chaos. So it's got Venus and Mars. Usually opposite.
And then if you go with a Bina point on Saturn.
And that's Saturn, which again deals with dark waters.
Right. And the birth of things and structuring.
Structure.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And the original Tiamat ritual, the original Tiamat myths, of which I think Leviathan is very relatable to you, they would spawn new and continuous life all the time. To the point that if there wasn't death,
right.
Didn't have death and they didn't stop this, we'd be in the chaos verse.
Well, it's the chaos verse or cancer verse.
Yeah, not where there's no continuously new things spawned out and there's nothing dies and everything keeps propagating and nothing can maintain form.
Yeah.
That's very much it. Now that might seem like, why the fuck are you guys summoning the spirit? But remember, we live in an increasing world of constraints. Every ritual so far has been about removing those constraints. And a lot of those constraints we have are inside. So again, they're emotional constraints, they're emotional trauma. If you let that go and dissolve into the water, well, that's in the short fashion, it looks like a Leviathan ritual. Maybe in a slow fashion, it looks like medical Qigong. You know, low it out, just let it flow. I mean, the process is a little sped up with Leviathan, right? It's a little like, oh my God, what did I get wrong?
Yeah.
Like that, you know. Yeah. But I mean, it's still very much the process of the water dissolving. You know, and when we were kind of laughing about this before the ritual, we even said, you know, a lot of this ritual is a dark version of some very Buddhist concepts, like dissolving to nothing, interconnecting with all things.
Yeah. Dark point.
I mean, magically. I mean, although it's not thought of as like an abysmal ritual, Leviathan is associated with the non-classic ceremonial abyss, but literally the abyss of the ocean.
The abyss of the ocean. You don't know what's underneath the waters, and you don't know how deep you're going to go in the waters either if you're going to get pulled.
So I think a Leviathan's a challenging spirit that is great for conquering fears, but you're not going to be escape the fears. It's sort of like,
well, you're there, you're looking at it in the eye, and then you're saying, okay, that's a part of me, I accept it, because again, water dissolves the structures.
Yeah, water dissolves all the structures. So you see the fear for what it is, but you don't actually get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing. It's still there. But you're just like, maybe you dissolve it. Maybe you get something else.
Maybe you get something else. Maybe you don't. It starts becoming a feature.
Right. Right. A feature, right? Like if you want to mutate yourself, right? You want to change your emotional makeup. You go down to the waters, release, come back up. You're different. Go back mm-hmm. to the waters, release, come back up. It'd be different. Again, that's very powerful. So it's like, although it sounds like this is dark and heinous, and there's Leviathan has a hugely bad reputation in Christianity because yep. of the book of Revelation
and Job
and jobs and a whole bunch of other parts of the Bible. That just goes to the fact that Judaism is based on a desert god, and many gods of the sea or sea-like creatures are the devil.
Well, right.
Or interrelated with some interrelated sort of adversarial force.
And we were even discussing about Leviathan possibly like being the body for the snake, possibly. In one of our discussions, becomes a whole different conversation piece.
Right. Because basically, if we go back to Babylonian myths again, they cut up Tiamat to give everyone their soul. And there's whole serpent references in the Bible, right. And even the great beast Leviathan at the end of the book of Revelations, basically, it's cut up and give to people to fed. So they could, the book of Revelations is basically almost like a drug trip.
Yeah.
In that you can't take it at its word, so it doesn't seem like it's physical nourishment they quite get. It's that. It seems like it's spiritual nourishment. So this is a complex being.
Yeah.
Like all the four elements of
are very nuanced.
They're very nuanced and complex. This particular one, I'd say last week we didn't have to do any exorcisms. This week we did.
We did.
So the waters run deep. Be warned. That said, this is great. I think, like we said, great for emotional intelligence, great to restructure your emotional sort of traumas and release it into the water,
right?
Which, again, we're all traumatized right now. Like, vast majority of people have deep levels of trauma because we live in a profoundly sick society. So this is an entity that's profoundly sort of against the natural Christianity that we're all brought with us, many of us, and it's deeply pathetic. Like, you can release this, you can drop it, you can kind of dissolve it in the great depths of the ocean, but it means that you have to be courageous enough to dive into the darkness.
And it really gets you back as a reset back into your own flows.
Right.
Past the societal norms.
Right.
That you're programmed.
Because you know what? The ocean doesn't care about humans. I mean, it does care now because we're breaking the oceans.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, the ocean doesn't care about an individual person. Mm-hmm. Whether you live or die, the oceans are irrelevant. Whether or not you are dissolving your emotional trouble, the ocean is not going to judge you.
It's not going to judge you. It's not going to care. I mean, you talk to people, more maritime people, they have this concept pretty much drilled in them.
Yeah, where the ocean is neither a friend nor a foe. It's kind of both. Leviathan, I think, is more friendly.
Yes.
When you call them in this fashion, or her, if you prefer. And it is much more friendly in that it knows that you're there. It's not trying to murder you per se, but the death aspects of it and confronting that are part of the fear aspects of letting that go. Mm-hmm. So our best advice, dive deep.
As far as you can.
Hang on, because it's going to be a little bit of a rough ride on this one, but worth it. Well worth it. I am betting that most of the people who came to the ritual are going to develop some different psychic abilities.
Actually. Absolutely. And just general awareness of what's happening just around them.
Yeah, possibly intuition. I mean, this was that was no laughing ritual.
No, it was a hardcore ritual.
So that said, we went on a spiel. There's no actual questions yet. But if there are questions, now's the time before we... Oh, see, actual hot pot fail. Hot pot. I have failed as a hot pot master.
Any questions from anybody? Audience?
Audience, any comments about that ritual? You're not on camera, so it's okay.
Just audio. The look.
Everyone's
giving us the look.
It's not about the ritual, but way back when you did some of your elemental episodes, a couple of them, you had something of a canned version of strengthening your
emotion. Yep. Well, we happen to be in a town that has a nice big lake. Sit at the lake and meditate. Pull some energy in, let some energy go, pull some energy in, let some energy go.
Just
we don't have tides in Lake Ontario, but the lake itself is a huge body of water. While you're doing that, hyperhydrate, and then just meditate on the state. That's a pretty good way to start getting a better relationship with water. You've hyperhydrated your body, and you're out by the lake.
And you got your blood and body water ready on top of that.
Right. And I wouldn't do it now in the cold, but there's ways around the cold. There's a bar down on the harbor where you can look out to the lake, get a nice beer, and just kind of
pick it
and meditate with the water. I mean, I don't want people to die.
Well, yeah. I mean, you also, worst comes worse, you have a tub.
Yeah. I mean, but if you go out there, there's a couple bars right on the harbor that you can go out there and just get a lake seat and just basically. And if you go a little bit further out from Toronto towards Buffalo, like I know at St. Catharines, there's this like one place that's like a Mediterranean place that's right on the lake that you could just sit. I mean, so you don't have to go outside.
Yeah. Oh, there's. Yeah.
Yeah. Woodbine Cafe. And you just get there, go there inside, and then just watch the water. Now, if it freezes, that's a little more difficult because it's frozen. That's in a different state of water, but it's not really like the classic sense of water anymore. But actually, just sitting out there and writing about the water and just feeling your emotions and letting yourself feel your emotions, not just thinking about your emotions, right? Yep. That's the issue. Like everyone tends to think about their emotions.
Not feel.
And so if you're just out by the water, feeling your emotions, you get all weepy. It's like a romantic poetry slam up in here.
Yep.
And you basically kind of let it just go. Yeah. The beer alcohol actually is probably very attuned to water too in a way, because it's basically, it's not an upper and it's basically sort of removes some of the blockers, sort of emotional. Kind of feeling emotional waves.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the best way to start off. Then you could start taking that experience into more, you know, elemental kind of magics, kind of getting the sense of water and using it like we did in this ritual. But this ritual in itself would actually, for the most people here, I think it would actually have changed your relationship with water to a point it's much more powerful.
Yeah.
Just on this point of this ritual, like your ability to kind of perceive this element is probably greatly improved.
Oh, absolutely. Again, it's kind of like water is probably going to get a lot of vivid things popping in, like
dreams, yeah.
Because that is kind of like a fluid state.
All right. Other questions? That was good. We'll get some extra stuff. Yeah.
A couple of different stories about, like,
the
female serpent and that being killed so that they could, like, really appropriate. And then there was one other version where the female serpent, like, more humanoid, I guess, Leviathan came with the female serpent, and then they, like,
Well, the ones where the female serpent is killed is even more closer to the Tiamat story in a nutshell, which again, she would have kept propagating offspring to the point that no offspring could survive on Earth.
Yeah.
So it wasn't quite as unjustified as it seems. Like it just wouldn't have been possible for life on Earth to exist if the propagation didn't stop.
Yeah.
As in, it had to slow down. Otherwise, stuff would never have congealed into anything.
Straight chaos at that
point. Yeah. So that one is very close to Tiamat. I've never heard a story where they get together with a male aspect who puts controls on the spirit, and then they are happy ever after. That sounds like a Jewish mysticism.
That sounds like a Jewish mysticism.
Because doesn't it sound quite patriarchal?
Right. And then it also gets to the point that Leviathan's androgynous, most likely, right? Depending on how people view it. So
I think because of the water, most people would see it and feel it as feminine. But in the concepts that we have in human gender, this doesn't lie.
Right.
But what do you apply it?
How do you apply water?
A water, dark water current to anything but a symbolic representation of gender. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but the fact that somebody felt the need to invent a story where it's constrained.
That
kind of says everything, right?
Yeah.
That's That's society saying, we can tame everything.
We can tame the chaos.
And we'll find out about that soon enough as a species.
Oh.
That's another reference of a water serpent.
Yeah.
That's another good reference. There's a lot of references to a creature like this that spins the world. Mm-hmm. And basically, yeah, there's a lot of very similar references. I think the Tiamat reference is so obvious.
Right on the point. Because, I mean, look, culturally, geographically, it's all in the same premises.
Yeah, yeah. And Thor and the World Serpent is another one that's a similar type of story. Although that's a whole different thing. Both cases, in the ends of those stories, whether it's in Babylonian or Norse, essentially you have a male hero. And usually I don't buy into this quite so much, but in this particular case, it's totally obvious. You have a male hero conquering chaos. Okay, we know what they're saying then, right? That's just not...
Yeah.
Right, that's pretty obvious and pretty... pretty much social propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't really get around it at that point. I mean, Thor's pretty manly good guy man. And manly man's man. But really, in both cases, it's like, whether it's Gilgamesh or Thor, they're very similar. Man, right? Like, kills the serpent of, water and chaos. Yeah, he does die, but I mean,
he goes back to the waters, right?
Still, the point is there. It's kind of like, really? Okay. Right. Exactly. Is there questions from the online? I know there's a couple people still here.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get an iPad hooked up the next show so we can be like, yeah. So we have a couple things coming up on Deep Down Rabbit Hole, which is also Queen City Curio video cast. So next 2 weeks, we are going to do Belial, which is another complicated entity.
Earth demon.
Yes, I'll give you a spoiler.
Dun, dun,
dun. Just think about it. You know what human structures look the most like? The cities?
Motherfucking caves.
No, but a certain type of caves, a certain underground animal. Human societies, when flipped upside down, look the most like ant colonies. And Belial is the hidden pass of power in the earth. And we just live in above ground caves for the most part. Then we have a special elemental crossbeat summary of all the four elements with Satan on top of it.
Satan on spirit.
All right. And what's the day? February
24th on a Saturday at 7 p.m.
Hot pot. This hot pot will be the full 5 elemental balance hot pot. So this would be like actually a transformative hot pot where we talk about summoning all four. Now, I know we're talking about the goetic immersion, but we haven't summoned one goetic spirit yet per se, but we will. And this is all us getting our circle up to speed.
So everyone gets up to speed.
So when we change our banishing over to a full effective banishing, it's not really a banishing, it's a centering. Mm-hmm. We'll have a really effective banishing to actually kind of pull all the elements together and actually really call up these goetic spirits.
Because if we're going to do it right.
Right. And by the way, do it. Just don't read about it. Deeper down the rabbit hole. This is now week 3.
Week 3.
Week 6, if we count every other week. But we'll see you in 2 weeks with another entity right after we summon it. See the hot pot's on. It's time to eat.
Hot pot's on. And then if you want to go into the Goetia or Goetic Immersion, check out the sponsorship. It has to be 10 or up to join us.
That's right. Links are on the YouTube video. But if you're listening auditorily on the podcast, just go to queencitycurio.ca because we have Canadian pride.
Yes. /membership. All right, we will see everyone in 2 weeks.